welcome back to The Farming Week, the podcast from Agriland that will keep you up to date on all the latest news in Irish agriculture. I'm Megan O'Brien and I'm joined by my colleague Aisling O'Brien, and we are back with the first episode for 2023. It's a new year and it's been an eventful one already. We've had CAP, we've had controversies and we've had many climate discussions. But let's kick off, Aisling, with a very interesting development from earlier this week about the possibility of a beef herd reduction scheme and whether or not that's something that's actually a possibility now. So Aisling, will you fill us in? Because I know it was you that was reporting on this story earlier in the week.
Yeah, very happy new year to you, Megan. Well, the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, was the keynote speaker this week at the IFA's Farming and Climate Summit that was held in Thomond Park in Limerick. Hundreds of farmers from across the country attended the event, Megan, to hear, I suppose, the challenges facing farmers in the coming years and trying to meet those legally binding climate targets that have been set by government. Of course, a 25% reduction set for the agriculture sector by 2030 compared to 2018 levels. So Charlie McConlogue, as I said, was the keynote speaker at this summit. And there has been a lot of concern, and we have reported on it on Agriland extensively, and we've talked about it here on the podcast, relation to the final reports of the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Groups. Now, those reports were used to feed into the Climate Action Plan, which the government launched there last month, just before Christmas time. And they did include different schemes to reduce the herd size in both the dairy and the beef side of the house. Now, farming organisations, as we reported at the time, were not happy. They were not in agreement with this final report and had particular concerns about any move to reduce the suckler herd size out there. So Charlie McConlogue made an announcement in his keynote address at the summit this week on Tuesday in Thomond Park, saying that it's off the table. So for the beef side of the house, it's off the table. He said he had listened to the concerns of farming organisations and processors who were not in favour of such a scheme. And he said that the government are now not going to proceed with that as part of the Climate Action Plan measures. But interestingly, he did say that there has been support for a similar measure in the dairy side of the house. So that is still on the table and that is still being discussed. And we'll see how that will proceed. He was very coy about any details about any reduction scheme for the dairy sector, but it is something that he is still considering, he confirmed.
Look, speaking of reports, Aisling, we can't go on in the podcast without mentioning a very interesting one published this week. It was Wednesday, that's January 11th, from Bord Bia. That was their exports and prospects report for 2022 to 2023. And it contained a wealth of information, so much that we couldn't possibly give our listeners every single detail. But Aisling, will you give us the highlights? Because there were some impressive numbers in there this week.
Absolutely. Well, it shows that agri-food exports reached a record high last year, reaching 16.7 billion euro in 2022. That's an increase of 22% on the previous year, Megan. As you said, there's an awful lot of detail. We've broken it down by sector on agriland.ie, but I suppose overall the volume of exports for beef and dairy did increase, and the prepared consumer foods sector as well and drinks saw strong performances in terms of export value as well. And last year, 34% of Ireland's total food and drink exports in value terms went to international markets, while the EU and the UK accounted for about 34% and 32% respectively. So, of course, the EU and the UK market, really, really important, the UK market in particular for Irish exports. Now, it was interesting, Megan, to see the response to this report from farming organisations, including the Irish Farmers Association, IFA President Tim Cullinan, coming out and saying that the performance underlined the resilience of the agri-food sector in a year when farmers, as we well know, have been dealing with extraordinarily high input costs, and the cost of production has been so high for farmers in 2022, continuing into this year, unfortunately. So he said that these figures showed the resilience of the sector and also the significant contribution of agriculture to the overall Irish economy. And that was something that was raised, interestingly, at the IFA summit in Limerick by somebody who's a regular contributor to Agriland. That's a food economist, Ciarán Fitzgerald. And Ciarán has written a very interesting piece for us on Agriland on this topic this week as well, which you can check out. But he told the summit that essentially the contribution of Irish agriculture to the overall economy in this country is being ignored and dismissed in the climate change debate. And when it comes to talking about decarbonizing our economy, it's very important that the Irish agriculture sector is seen as economically relevant, because if you're relevant, you can't be discarded by government, was his main point. And he said that the Central Statistics Office showed that the Irish agriculture sector output, the economic output of the sector, was worth over 12 billion euro last year. And that's an increase of almost 6 billion euro when compared to 2010. So it's an industry that is really increasing its value to the Irish economy. And he said, but this isn't being reflected in the narrative, that we're focusing instead on foreign direct investment, corporation tax. And obviously, we saw concerns before Christmas about our reliance on that sort of economic model. But the report that was commissioned by the government on the back of those concerns last year, interestingly, didn't even mention the agri-food sector and its contribution. So, you know, foreign direct investment, as Ciarán Fitzgerald said, is a huge part of our economy. But it's not the only part. And that's what is required here, is balance in this, you know, debate when it comes to decarbonisation of the economy. And the misrepresentation of the agri-food sector promotes this incorrect notion, Megan, that it's a low contribution to the economy, which could easily be replaced, which means that we need to start as a sector making sure that our policymakers know how important and how valuable Irish agri-food is to the Irish economy.
Yeah, because it must be exhausting for the farmers themselves and the farming organisations to be constantly trying to push the importance of the industry to the fore. And yet it still doesn't make it into mainstream headlines all the time, we'll say. And as you quite rightly said, Ciarán Fitzgerald there saying that actually just a 1% reduction in agricultural output can result in a 120 million loss to the sector and a drop of 240 million euro across the wider economy. And I just don't think, as you said, Aisling, that people on the ground really realise that. You know, we're in the ag news business and farmers out there realise it themselves. But, you know, your average Joe on the street doesn't really appreciate that sometimes. So it is a really important narrative to kind of push out there.
And the value of the agri-food sector back into local economies, the spend within local areas. This is so vital. And I think Ciarán Fitzgerald, his point was very well made in advance of those Board BA figures. And obviously the farming organisations, including the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, saying this week as well that it was quite laughable to see politicians giving an official welcome to these figures and this incredible performance, which is on the back of the hard work of Irish farmers. And, you know, at the meantime, these policies coming down the road, which they claim are going to, you know, stifle and stymie food production and production levels for Irish farmers through new regulations.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And hopefully we can keep this appreciation going forward. We can keep it up. But farm organizations also this week talking about another development. And that was a new agreement. Now, Aisling, you'll have to fill us in on the details of this. But this was about a new agreement between Ireland's state forester, Quailcha, and a UK investment company, Gresham House. And this under this agreement, they'll be establishing and managing hopefully about 12,000 hectares of forest over the next number of years in Ireland. But there's more detail to this. You know, it's not always just what meets the eye. So a lot of fallout around this, Aisling. Tell us why, because there's a couple of moving parts in the background here that people aren't happy about, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a story that we did feature on Agriland before Christmas when Quailcha appeared before the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture, Food and the Marine. And Michael Fitzmaurice, the independent TD, raised some serious concerns about what he saw as the privatisation of forestry and the move towards investment funds becoming more of a player in the Irish forestry landscape. As you rightly said, Cuilta, it's a semi-state agency, and it does have a huge role when it comes to forestry. And as part of its strategic plan, it wants to create 100,000 hectares of new forestry by 2050. And of course, this is all against the backdrop of our climate targets, and forestry is seen as a huge part in that. Now, Cuilta, the issue with Cuilta is that they actually don't earn a premium, a forestry premium, from any new forestry that they plant. That's because EU state aid rules prevent that from happening, because it is a semi-state agency. So they have been exploring how they can get involved more in afforestation, because for recent times, they have been concentrating more on managing their existing forests rather than planting new trees. So they're saying this is a way of going forward with this plan to create new forestry. And last week, London headquartered Gresham House, as you said, they announced that they had launched this €200 million Irish Forestry Fund, which is backed by Cuilta. Now, interestingly, it's also supported by the Ireland Strategic Investment Fund, which has been supporting Cuilta as it looks for options on how it can get back into planting more trees. And this fund, this ISIF fund, that's actually managed by the National Treasury Management Agency. And it has been confirmed that the fund has actually invested €25 million of taxpayers' money into this new Irish Forestry Fund, which is, of course, backed by Gresham House and Cuilta. So, of course, farming organizations have been, you know, querying this. They've been concerned about this, raising huge concerns about the impact this may have on the price of land, because obviously the might of Cuilta and the buying power. Now, Cuilta are saying that that is not their intention. They don't want to see any increase in the price of land, and they just want to get a way forward to plant more trees. And Gresham House saying that this will be a way to enhance Ireland's forestry sector as well. But last night, we got a statement to Agriland on Thursday night following a virtual meeting. A group of agricultural and forestry organisations came together: the Irish Farmers Association, the Western Forestry Co-op, Irish Forestry Owners, Social, Economic and Environmental Forestry Association, Forestry Owners Cooperative Society, the Association of Irish Forestry Consultants, the Agricultural Consultants Association, and the Limerick and Tipperary Woodland Owners. So a considerable amount of organizations coming together to voice their complete opposition to this this partnership, and they've called on the government to get involved. Now, Megan, I'm not sure if the government, what they can do at this stage, if this is essentially a done deal.
The minister actually has said that he didn't need to give approval on this. So realistically, how much can the government do here?
Yeah, that's true. Minister Charlie McConnell, while he was at the IFA summit that we were speaking about earlier in the podcast, we questioned him, you know, about this Cuilta development. And he did confirm to media organisations in that press conference that this deal did not require ministerial intervention, because there wasn't any funding that was directly given from the minister for this deal. So, but the farming organisations believe that this is a situation where rural Ireland is being sold off, and that young farmers, existing farmers, new farmers will be pushed off the land essentially by the might of Cuilta and Gresham House and this new forestry fund, and that they feel that farmers could actually be competing with Cuilta for one in every 3 acres of land if this deal goes ahead. So I suppose we'll have to see if the government responds. Now, it's interesting because Charlie McConnell and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, with responsibility for forestry, Pippa Hackett, are set to meet with Cuilta about this. Now, Cuilta say that they've kept the ministers up to date. Megan, you reported on that this week. So, I mean, were they in the dark? Were they not in the dark? How much did they know? Were they aware of this deal before it went through? We'll have to see. And no doubt that meeting is set to be held imminently, essentially, at this point.
It's an interesting thought about how much they knew, even though they didn't necessarily have to give a sign off on it. Yet Mark Carlin, he is the managing director of the forestry division in Cuilta, and he did say that, you know, ministers and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine were kept in the loop, and that they were informed of Cuilta's strategic plan. So, you know, have they known about this for a considerable amount of time, but didn't have to say anything, so just decided to refrain from making an announcement? It will be interesting to see. And it will be interesting to see if we as the public and as the media hear anything out of that meeting as well. And as you quite rightly said, concerns about the land, but Aisling, concerns about local spending of, you know, the money that will be received by farmers from these premiums, these forestry grants. As we quite rightly said when we were talking earlier, that money goes back into the local economy and creates a multiplier effect. But realistically, we could be looking at some of the money going back abroad if it is the UK investment fund that is receiving some of these premiums. So we will definitely be keeping an eye on that. And our listeners can follow agriland.ie, our website, for news updates on that. Finally now, Aisling, I would like to touch on a new development that will be relevant for our sheep farmers, our livestock farmers and dog owners out there as well. Our listeners may not be up to date on this latest move, but it is an interesting one, obviously, following a lot of sheep attacks and horrendous livestock worrying and everything lately. We want to fill our listeners in on this. So Aisling, bring us up to date, because a great development this week.
Well, Megan, since I've joined Agriland, I've unfortunately, like yourself, had to contact so many farmers across the country who've been left devastated in the wake of dog attacks, animals being killed, worried, suffering horrific injuries. And the loss to these farmers has been extensive. And of course, we saw as well back in November a horrific attack in Wexford, where a young boy was out playing football and was attacked by a pit bull. And I think only recently returned home from hospital, thankfully, and suffered horrendous, in just an intolerable situation. So I suppose the issue of dog control and ownership has really come to the fore, and it has been put under the spotlight because of a couple of very horrific recent animal attacks. And of course, that awful attack on that young boy in County Wexford as well. So this week, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, met with his counterpart, Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, because I suppose responsibility in this area crosses both departments. So they had a meeting on this entire issue, and they've agreed to set up a working group. And it's going to examine issues such as fines under the Control of Dogs Act, enforcement at local authority level, the provision of dog wardens, microchipping, which of course is a legal requirement for all dog owners, and promoting responsible dog ownership out there. Now, I suppose maybe the cynical part of me is like, it's another working group. Is this something that we could just kick on with at this point? You know, at least it's a step forward, and it's a step in the right direction that the government is responding to the concerns that are out there. I mean, the IFA had launched their No Dogs Allowed campaign quite some time back in relation to dogs wandering on farmland. And, you know, they've been long calling for enforcement in this area to be tightened up and for responsible dog ownership to be promoted. So we'll have to see what this working group will come up with. But it is a step forward.
A step in the right direction, and hopefully one that will lead to a situation where we have less of these horrendous attacks. And hopefully it will lead to a time where animals and farmers and just people walking on the streets and people minding their own business feel safer. I mean, how many times have both you and I been in parks where you see, you know, dogs that are on that dangerous dog list just roaming off the lead and things like that. So hopefully, you know, with more discussion and more enforcement, we can end up in a safer situation. But that is all we have time for this week's episode. So don't forget to rate, review and share us on Spotify, Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back next Friday with another episode of The Farming Week. Thanks for listening.